The late President Eisenhower once said, "It takes no brains to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny the supernatural." The experience of the Apostle Paul in Athens, Greece, in the long ago brings new meaning to that statement. Listen to the words of Acts chapter 17, verse 22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" The city of Athens was known as the intellectual capital of the world. The Apostle Paul, in journeying to this city, was directed by God to bring the message that I will bring to you from this text, with its central theme, getting to know God. In Athens, there were many philosophers, for all of the great systems of philosophy were born in Athens, Greece. It was a city of philosophy. It was a city of pleasure, a city of people, a city of pride. It was a city of poetry. It was a city of paganism. Paul's words in verse 22, "I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious," could well be rendered, "Ye are too religious." Yes, Paul said to them, "You are too religious." Now, religion is one thing, and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is another. People all over the world have religion. You have some kind of religion listening to me and to this broadcast today. But I ask you, do you have Christ? Have you experienced that personal encounter with God's Holy Spirit that we call the new birth? You see, you can be religious but lost. Many a person today all over the world, many a person listening to this broadcast, boasts of his religion, boasts that he is not a pagan or a heathen. But I say unto you today that unless you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, unless you have come into the right relationship with God through Jesus Christ and his atoning work upon the cross, however religious you might be, you are yet lost. Paul said to the Athenians, "Ye are too superstitious or too religious." He went on to declare that as he passed by, he beheld their devotions. The Athenians were a religious people worshiping many gods. One of the altars had this inscription, "To the unknown God." To them, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was unknown. Paul said he would declare this God unto them. And Paul says, "You are ignorantly worshiping the unknown God. Him declare I unto you." In this message today on getting to know God, it will be our purpose, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to introduce you to God. Even as Paul introduced God to those Athenians in the long ago. Paul says that God is the creator of all things. We read in the book of Genesis, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." We read in John chapter 1 and verse 3 that all things were made by Christ, and without him there was not anything made that was made. You see, God has made you in his own image. It matters not your condition or your color or your status today, economically, socially, politically, or religiously. You are the creation of God. You have been made in the likeness and in the image of God. And your soul can never find true repose until it rests in peace with God. Having been made in God's image, God loves you. God loves you today. It matters not who else does not love you, or it matters not who does love you. Be assured, because God has created you in his own image, he loves you. He has proved it by giving Christ upon the cross for your sins. Peter declares he bore your sins in his own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. God is indeed the creator of all things, making you in his likeness. God is the Lord of heaven and earth, and Paul declares this, the God that made all things, dwells not in temples made with hands. God is not dwelling in pagan temples today. God is not worshipped by people bowing down before some image. God is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwells in the heart and life of every individual believer. You see, when a person becomes a Christian, when a person trusts Christ as his own personal Savior, the Holy Spirit begins to live in that person's heart and in that person's life. Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, at verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." God dwells within people, believers, born-again ones. God has guided the history of mankind and the history of nations from the very beginning. All nations today are in subjection to God. It seems with the world conditions as they are, and the problems and difficulties and war and strife that exist among nations, that error is on the throne and truth is on the scaffold. But one day this will be reversed, for God has the last word. And in the final act of human drama, God will be on the stage when the last curtain falls. Just as sure as we are a nation today, just as sure as we live and exist today in this country, God will guide this country, and God will in the end judge this country. Every nation is accountable to God. Not only is every nation accountable to God, but every individual is accountable to God. For not only has God guided the history of all nations, but God has guided the life of every man, whether he has realized it or not, whether you know it today or not. God's hand is upon your life, for God is giving you this moment life. For in him we live and move and have our being. God gives to each of us the life that we now enjoy. The air that we breathe comes from him. The earth upon which we walk is his. The water that we drink, the rain that falls from the sky, the vegetation that grows from the earth. These are gifts of God, and this is the provision of God for your life today. If God were to remove his hand from your life for just 1 second, you would no longer be. If God would take himself away from you and from your existence and from your life, just a split second, you would have to die. For God is the source of all life, and God is everywhere. God is with you right now, this moment. If you are unsaved, just outside your heart's door, the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit stands. He wants to come in. He wants to make a new man out of you, a new woman, a new boy, a new girl, a new person in him. For he is not only the source of physical life, but he is the source of spiritual life. There can be no salvation apart from him. In the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, men can be good, and men can be moral, and men can be truthful and upright, but this is not enough. If you are going to enter into the city of God, you must be born again. You must have imparted to you the eternal life that comes only from God, for he and he alone is the source of all life. Have you experienced that new birth? Has the eternal life of God been imparted to you through Jesus Christ? If not, I trust that in this moment, even now, that you would open the door of your heart and let Christ come in. For he is anxious to give you eternal life by simply trusting in his finished work upon the cross. In Paul's day, there was a great deal of ignorance about God. As we noted, Paul said, "You do ignorantly worship God." But God overlooked that time of ignorance, Paul says, in the ancient pagans. He overlooked or winked at that ignorance in days gone by. But now in this day, God no longer overlooks or winks at ignorance, because God has revealed himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and no man has any excuse. Listen to these words from verse 30 of this same chapter. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Yes, before Christ came, revealing the truth about God, before Christ came, dying on the cross, making atonement for all sins of all men, of all ages, of all colors, of all classes, before that day, God overlooked the ignorance of the ancient pagans. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. And to repent means to turn away from yourself, to turn from your own ideas about salvation, to turn from your own self-righteousness, to turn from your own good works, to turn by faith to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on Calvary's cross for your sins. God does not overlook the fact that you in this hour may be ignorant of his Son, for I am giving to you the truth from God's word. And this moment you know that you are a sinner. The Holy Spirit tells you so. The Bible declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible declares that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Outside Christ today, you are helplessly and hopelessly lost. You must turn or you will burn. You must turn by faith to accept Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross for your sins, or one day you will burn in an everlasting fire, an everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. In the book of the Revelation we read, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Let me ask you, has your name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you come to that place in your own personal experience when you realized that you were a lost sinner and that you could do nothing to save yourself? If you have not come to that point, by the Holy Spirit, I trust in this moment you will. Arrive at this conclusion. Arrive at this deduction. You, by nature, are a sinner. You, in your own weakness, can do nothing to save your soul. There is but one way for you to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as you have been introduced to the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is the creator of all things, the God who is Lord of heaven and earth, the God who has guided the history of all nations, the God that guides your life this moment, the God that commands you to repent, why not this moment repent of your sins? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. For one day, God will judge the world. Did not Paul say, "God hath appointed a day when he will judge all men"? Paul speaks of 3 days in this text. First, a day of ignorance. Second, a day of repentance. And third, a day of judgment. The day of ignorance is past. The day of repentance is today. Today is the day of salvation. There is no promise of tomorrow for your eternal salvation. God's time is always the present time. Yesterday is like a canceled check. Tomorrow is only a promissory note. The only thing you have today is the ready cash of this moment, right now, today. This is the day of salvation, the day of repentance. And then Paul speaks of that third day that is yet to come, a day of judgment. Listen to these words. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. After death, judgment. After passing out of this life, it's meeting God on the judgment morn. It is appointed unto man once to die. Oh, you may be enjoying good health this moment, and I trust that you are. But the next moment might bring death, for there is but one heartbeat between you and all eternity. God commands you in this moment, through mercy and love, to repent. You must trust the Lord Jesus Christ in this life as your Savior, or you will meet Him in the world to come as your judge. For God has manifest Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, and God has raised Him from the dead in order that you might be saved. And God will save you if you will believe. Only believe, and the work is done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Have you believed? Have you exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you own Him as the Lord and Master of your life? Have you had that personal experience that we call the new birth? If not, I trust in this moment that you will call upon the name of the Lord. For the Word of God declares, and it is written, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've good news for you, that whosoever means you. You are included in that number. If you would but by faith this moment call upon God, confess that you're a sinner, acknowledge Christ as your Savior, believe in your heart that Christ died for you and that He was raised for you, you can be saved. I'm glad today that I can report to you that men all over the world have had this experience. You can have it too. You can have it this moment, simply by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Confess that you're a lost sinner. And simply believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and you will be saved. If indeed you have not that experience today, I trust that right now you will do it. May I remind you in the closing moments of this broadcast, if you know God, you are prepared to die. If you do not know God, you are not prepared to die. And you must face death. And beyond that, you must face judgment. Do you know God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you not trust Him in this moment? Even now, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and you too will know God.